American dream. Back when they signed the Declaration of Independence, they wrote that every man is created equal, and that every man has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that's what we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks, is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it's just amazing that we live in a country that we're free to live the life that we want to live. We don't have anybody telling us how to live, what job we have to work at, you know, where we need to worship and all that. We have the freedom to choose and all of that. Well, it's great that we have these freedoms in America, but there's something much better than the American dream that's offered to us, and that's God's perfect will for our lives. And I believe that as we live God's perfect will for our lives, that He brings us life, that He brings us freedom, and that He brings us joy. So much better than what America could offer anybody. It's when we get into the zone of God's perfect will that He can bring life to us. The Bible tells us that He wants us to live a rich and satisfying life. And, you know, so many people live, you know, way below the rich and satisfying life that God wants us to have. Now, I'm not saying that He wants us to all have, you know, big houses and cars and boats and all that stuff. That's not what God wants for us. There's something more important than stuff in life that He wants to give us. He wants to bless us, and He wants us to have joy and peace and love in our lives, and give us the good things in life. And that doesn't always consist of money and stuff. But He wants us to bring us freedom in our lives. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, you know, He died for our sins. Our sins are forgiven. And that's great news. But He brought us freedom in our spiritual life, but He brought us freedom in every area of our lives. He wants to bring us freedom from our past, bring us freedom from sickness and disease. He wants to bring us freedom in our emotions and every aspect of our lives. He offers us freedom. And the last one we've been talking about is joy. And I think this is one of the biggest things missing from the church today is joy. That God has provided us all joy. The Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we wonder why the church is weak, because we've lost our joy. And so that's kind of where we want to go today, is talking about joy. Last week we connected joy and thanksgiving. We read several scriptures that we saw the connection between when we give thanks to God for what He's done for us, for what He's given to us, for everything He is to us, that He pours out joy in our lives. And it seems like the more joy that we have, the more thankful we are as well. And it's amazing how joy and thanksgiving play off of each other. Well, thanksgiving is just a part of worship. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is the connection between our worship and our joy. I believe that a lot of people are missing their joy because they have forgotten to worship. And we're going to define some of this stuff, joy and worship, as we go, so it'll make more sense to us. Because, you know, when you say the word worship, most people think of coming to church on Sundays, singing a few songs, hearing a sermon, and going home. Guys, if that's your idea of worship, you're missing it. Because there's so much more to worship than just singing songs. So much more to it. But we also talked about the difference between joy and happiness. And I think this is vital that we understand that there is a difference. If you look it up in the American Dictionary, there's really no difference between joy and happiness. But if you look into God's Word, there's a big difference. Because our happiness is based on our happenings. It's based on the things going on around us. It's based on what kind of mood we're in today, or what's going on at work. How's my kids acting today? And our happiness is based on circumstances of life. And it's all based on external stuff, things that happen to us. And we don't always have control over happiness. But see, I believe joy is something that's internal. It's something that's more stable in our lives. Because true joy only comes from God. You cannot get joy from anywhere else but through God. And right there is your big difference. When God gives you joy, then it's something that you can bank on. It's something that's stable in your life. Something that you can hang on to. And It doesn't matter what's going on around you. I love seeing people who are so full of joy that, you know, their life might just be in turmoil, but they've always got a smile on their face. They're always happy to see somebody. They're always cheerful. And that's what joy is about. See, God wants all of us to live with joy in our lives. But see, we're missing something somewhere, because you look at a lot of Christians and there's no joy. There's no excitement about the relationship with God. There's no passion there. And that's what we want to talk about today, is finding our joy again. And we're going to find it through worship. Worship is so vital to our Christian life and to our joy and everything that we do in life. So let's get some little definitions going on here. Joy is the first thing I want to define. We didn't define it last week, but joy, if you look it up, you look at the word joy up in the Bible, then, do all the research and all that fun stuff that us geeky people like to do. We like to research stuff. But if you look up joy and study it out, it actually means a cheerfulness. It means a calm delight. It's something that's constant in our lives. I like that term, the calm delight. Because we all have places in our lives that just kind of calm us. I like to call this my happy place. Anybody have a happy place that you go to sometimes when life's just crazy? You go to your happy place. You shut everything else and your mind goes somewhere, and it's usually a calm, restful place. For me, it's this one beach. We went to Jamaica a few years ago, and there's a stretch of beach that, it was only about 10 foot wide, and there's these lawn chairs, and you just look out into the ocean, as far as you can see, and just watching the waves and all that stuff. In my mind, all of the resort and stuff goes away, and it's just us sitting on the beach, listening to the waves, and just a calm kind of comes over you. That's what joy is to us. It's a calm delight. Another one of my happy places is, for any of y'all hikers out there, it's one of my favorite waterfalls that we go to. It's called Twin Falls on Richland Creek. And we've taken a trip there, our hiking group has, and just one of my favorite places. It's a beautiful waterfall. It's where these two creeks come together and fall into one pool, about 20-foot falls, and it's just so beautiful and peaceful there. We went about a month ago or so. I got to go there, and it took us about 3 hours to get there hiking. But when we got there, it was just like, oh, it's worth it. It brings that calm, that restfulness. I was worn out, and I still had to hike three hours back. But it was calm. It was peaceful. And I believe that's kind of the stuff that God wants to bring into our lives, that joy, that calm place that we can go when life is just crazy and out of control. We can have that inner calm to keep us during those times. So let's read some scripture here. Psalms 100, talking about joy and worship being connected. Because I believe that if you have joy in your life, you're going to worship. And I believe if you need joy in your life, you should worship. Because worship is where joy comes out of. Psalms 100. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is good. He made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture." I just love that. Shout for joy to the Lord. Worship Him with gladness. I believe that true worship has gladness and joy right in the middle of it. And I believe that as we worship, joy and gladness begins to well up in our hearts. Because I believe that when we put our focus on God, when we forget about what's going on in our lives, when we focus on Him and who He is, what He's done for us, and we begin to worship Him, to lift Him up, I believe that everything else in life kind of falls away. Your problems don't seem so big anymore compared to the God of the universe. I believe your troubles just melt away when you realize how big God is. He is all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere all at the same time. He knows everything. He knows your future. He knows that you're going to have trouble coming up in your life, and He's already provided a way out. He's already provided. He's got provision for you in your life. Nothing sneaks up on God. That should bring us joy in our lives, knowing that He's got our back, The God of the universe, the one that created everything, everything at his disposal, has our back. Should bring joy into our lives. So there's definitely a connection between joy and worship. So let's dive in this and let's see what this worship is all about. Because like we said, worship is not singing songs. That's a part of worship, a very small part of worship. And it just doesn't need to happen in these four walls. Worship. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 in verse 1. Let's check out worship and what it is all about. Romans 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Let the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Now, does that sound like singing songs to you? No, there's so much more to worship than just music. There's so much more to worship than coming to church. There's so much more to worship. In fact, most of your worship should happen outside of the church in your everyday life. See, worship is giving everything to God. Now, that's kind of a generic statement. Okay, give everything to God. Yeah. But worship is truly being a living sacrifice, giving it up for him, giving your own plans up for him, giving your own selfish desires up to do his will in your life. There's nothing better, nothing that brings more joy, more peace, more contentment in your life than living out God's will for your life. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like finding what your gifts and talents, because God gave us our gifts, our talents, our passions, our desires. God has given us all of that stuff. And the thing is, the thing that he called us to do, we're supposed to be passionate about. We already are gifted to do. We're already talented in that area. We already have a bent towards that. And then he says, this is what I want you to do for life. And it always brings glory to him. And see, when we're living in the perfect will of God, when we're doing what he's called us to do, there's no greater joy. There's no greater joy than when you're living out God's will for your life and someone sees your life and sees God in the middle of it and sees the love and the passion and the joy that you have. And they say, I want that. And they give their lives to God because of what they saw in your life. And they begin to live their life for God. And they begin to affect other people around them. That's what it's about. That's what we are supposed to be living for. That is what worship is. See, worship is not an event. Worship is not an action. Worship cannot be confined to one area at one place at one time. Worship should permeate our entire life. It should be who we are. It should be our lifestyle. It should be our mode of operation. It should be the way that we think. It should be the things that we do. See, we were all created to worship. That's why God created us. He created us as worshipers. In fact, in heaven, we see a glimpse of this in some of the prophets in the Old Testament. That one of them got to see into heaven and see what it was about. And he said, I see God sitting on the throne. And there's angels all around him singing praises to God. They said they cast their crowns at his feet. And they sang, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come. See, angels were created to worship God. That is their purpose in life. Our purpose in life is the same. It's to worship God, to bring glory to him. See, every aspect of our life should be singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. When you're at work, your life should be singing and glorifying God. When you're at home, your life should be singing and glorifying God. We were made to worship. We are all worshiping something or somebody. Are you worshiping God? What are you worshiping? Worship is not a song, it's not an event, it's not an action, it's a lifestyle. It's you giving everything to God, giving it all to him, every bit of your life. So let's define worship real quick. We've kind of talked around worship. Let me give you some what I would call generic definitions. They're not really generic, but they are. One definition would be to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God. To put the spotlight on God in your life. To lift Him up and make Him known to the people around you. See, that's more than singing a song. It's more than coming to church. It's more than hearing a sermon. It's everything in our lives. But if you kind of research the word worship in the Bible, some more of my geekiness coming out. I like to just dig into stuff and see what stuff means. Anybody else out there like words and what they mean and getting to the bottom? I'm the only one. Oh, okay. We've got another one over here. There we go. Well, I did the research for you, so you don't have to, all right? But if you look into the Bible and the word worship, when it actually shows up, in the New Testament and the Old Testament, both, there's two of the major words are very similar. And we're going to talk about these two different words, worship, in the Bible. The first one, the word worship, is defined as to bow, or to kneel, or to kiss. And when I was beginning to study this and I saw that, one of the things that popped in my mind, my spiritual mind here, was the movie Gladiator. Any fans of some war movies out there, some hero movies? There's something built into every man, I believe, and some women, that there's this desire for an adventure, for a fight, just to go after something wholeheartedly. And that's why movies like Gladiator and Braveheart, you know, they just kind of, oh, you watch them and you just pumped up after you watch them and you want to go do something, you know. But if you look into all of these movies, there's usually a king. And the warrior is under the king. The king gives the warrior all of his power. And the warrior is going out and fighting for the kingdom. They're fighting for the kingdom cause. And we all have a warrior on the inside of us. But if you notice, when the king shows up, the warrior, he bows. He kneels. He kisses the hand of the king. The mighty warrior that has killed thousands and thousands of people humbles himself before the king. And this is a picture of worship. This is a picture of how our lives need to be to God. And that when we come into the presence of God, we need to be reverent. See, there's lots of words that popped up when I started reading this. Words like honor and reverence, loyalty, devotion. See, this is what worship is about, is giving God our reverence, honoring God with our lives. Giving God everything. It's humbling ourselves and saying, "You are King. I am subject to You. I get all of my power from You. I give my life for You." This is what this word worship means. And that this is what we need to do for God. We need to reverence God. We need to esteem Him higher than ourselves. Knowing that without Him, we are nothing. See, without the king, the warrior is nothing. But when the king gives him power, that's when he can stand up and do what he's called to do. It's the same thing with us. When we recognize God is King, King of kings and Lord of our lives, that's when God empowers us to stand up and do what we are called to do in life. See, this is our personal connection with God. This is kind of what I would call our personal relationship with God, where it's just you and God. See, if the only time that you worship is when you come to church, you're missing out on what worship is about. You're missing out on your relationship with God, because the relationship is supposed to be personal, you and God. And this is where this word worship comes in, is that personal connection to where you get in the presence of God and you esteem Him. You sing praises to Him and you lift Him up. You read His Word and you spend time with God. Let me tell you what, if you don't have that personal time with God in your life, then you're never going to be successful as a Christian. because your power, your strength, your joy comes from those quiet times when it's you and God, when you're in the presence of God and you're able to communicate with Him and He's able to talk to you. Worship. The second word, worship, that we find in the Bible, New Testament and Old Testament, it can be translated into service, to serve or to obey. See, part of our worship to God is not just to have that personal time when it's just you and Him, but it's to actually do something with that, with what God has invested in you. It's to actually obey God's word. It's actually to live out the commands of God in your life. It's actually to live out your purpose in life. It's to actually to step out and serve your community. That's the second word for worship. And if you read the New Testament, it's usually, in any part of the Bible, it's usually one of those two words, to where it's that personal connection with you and God, where you're pouring yourself out to God and just giving Him glory and honor. And in turn, He's pouring out His joy and His peace and His love on you. And then from there, you go out and you live a life that glorifies God. You live a life that points back to Jesus. That is what worship is all about. So how does this really play out in our lives? What does this look like in our everyday lives? The first word, worship, it's what I would call our private time with God. It's our devotional time. It's your quiet time, whatever you like to call it. It's a time when it's you and God in private, nobody else around. There's no praise team up here playing music for you. It's no nothing like that. There's no one there to preach you a message. It's you and God. It's when you sit down on your couch and you read your Bible. You study the Word. You find out what God says about you, what He wants for your life. It's time to where you can turn on some worship music and just worship your heart out. Just pour your heart out to Him. It's times of prayer. Not only prayer of asking God for something, but prayer of, God, You're just so amazing. God, thank You so much. It's a prayer of thanksgiving, and it's just pouring your heart out to Him. And it's time of stopping and listening to God. See, we're so quick to throw up some prayers for stuff that we want, but do we ever stop and listen to what God has to say back to us? Because lots of times, God wants to deal with something in our own lives that's stopping what He wants to do in our lives. He says, I need you to deal with this attitude. I need you to deal with this relationship in your life. And until you do that, I cannot bring this into your life. And there's got to be times that we just stop and listen to God. It's so easy just to say a prayer and go on. But we need times to stop and listen. We need times of meditation, to where we just sit and think about what God's Word says. I believe this study time and meditation time go hand in hand, that we read God's Word and we stop and just say, God, what did You mean by this? Has anybody ever read the Bible and was confused? Besides me? We've all had times like that. Why not just stop a second and say, hey, God, what did You mean by that? What does this mean in my life? How does this play out in my life? What do You want me to do with this? You stop and listen and meditate on what He says. That's our personal time. Then the second way this plays out in our lives is what I like to call our public display of our relationship with God. Because if people know that you're a Christian, and hopefully they do, people are watching. How do you publicly display your relationship with God? Some people ignore it altogether. They say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but it doesn't affect the rest of my life. How do we display our relationship with God? Do we honor God with our lives? Do we honor God with our actions? Do we honor God with our words? This is what worship is. It's bringing glory to Him. It's obedience to God. See, we all want the blessings of God. But before the blessings of God, there's obedience to God. So many times we miss that step. We think if we can just pray the right prayer, if we can say the right words, then I'll be blessed. There has to be obedience that comes with that. We need to live like Jesus. We need to serve our community. We need to tell people about Jesus. This is our public display of our relationship with God. It's worship. See, we're worshiping every day. Whether we realize it or not, are we worshiping God with our lives when we're at home? Are we worshiping God with our lives when we're at work? Are we bringing glory to Him? Let's all go to John chapter 15. I've read this scripture many times, and a great passage of scripture talking about, you know, He is the vine, we are the branches, we need to be connected with Him, and as long as we're connected with Him, we bear fruit for God, and a great passage of scripture. But as I read it again this week, you know, studying out joy and worship, God really brought it alive to me into what He was actually saying here. John chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 5. He says, "Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I am him, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." See, this is the part of worship to where we're with God. See, this word remain here, it actually means to abide. It means to wait, to be in the presence of, to be with. Do you see the picture here of, see, so many times we're so driven to go and do that we forget to be. We need to be with God. We need to spend time with God. We need to spend time in His Word. Every good relationship is built on time. And there's really no difference in quality time and quantity time. So you hear a lot of people talk about, you know, I spend quality time with God. Well, see, you get your quality and your quantity. They go hand in hand. If you're not spending quantity time with God, then you're not having quality time with God. Now, I believe that you can have moments in your life to where, you know, you're sitting there at work and, you know, you're having a bad day and you can have a moment with God. But see, that needs to be happening all throughout the day and not just a one-time event. That we can have moments with God, but all those moments build up into quantity time. It's remaining. See, it reminds me of the kind of the mentor relationship or the apprentice relationship to where you're with the person. And, you know, just think about the disciples. And, you know, they dropped everything in their lives and followed Jesus for 3 years. Just dropped their jobs, dropped everything, and just said, "We're following you." And it was a being with. It was a remaining, it was an abiding, it was waiting with God, it was learning, it was interacting with God. And there was this relationship that was built between Jesus and the disciples. And see, that's what God wants with all of us. Now, He doesn't want us to all go quit our jobs and just read the Bible all day. That's not what He's saying. But there needs to be this relationship, this personal connection with God. That you just know each other. That when God speaks, you hear. See, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." How many times do we struggle to understand, is that me talking or is that God talking to me? And I do the same thing. The more time we spend with God, the more we know His voice and we know when He's speaking to us and we know what He wants us to do and we know His heart. Verse 7, "But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask anything that you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples." Listen to this. This brings great glory to my Father. See, that's the definition of worship we said, to bring glory to God. And that's what it's about. If you truly want to bring great glory to the Father, you need to have that relationship. We need to have that relationship outside of the church. An everyday relationship with Him. Verse 9, "I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love." That word remain, abide, be in the presence of. "When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love." There's the other definition of worship, to serve, to obey. It's action to what is producing in your relationship with Him. "When you obey my commands, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in His love." And here it is. "I've told you these things so that you may be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." And then there's your connection, joy and worship. As we worship God, as we honor God with our lives, He brings joy overflowing to us. And the more joy that we have in our lives, the more we want to serve God and more we want to spend time with God. And it's just this it's this great cycle that begins, that we get joy and we worship and we worship and we get joy and we have joy and we worship. But see, it works the opposite way too. There's times that we disobey God and it seems like our joy goes away and we think, God, what's going on? How come I can't hear you as well? And you continue in disobedience and the joy disappears and disobedience and lack of joy and frustration. And that's so many Christians' lives, that they get stuck in the cycle of just frustration. And God, where are you? How come you're not answering my prayer? And what's going on? And you're not worshiping and honoring God with your life. We need to change that and begin to honor God in our lives and our thoughts. With our time, with our talents, we need to honor God with every aspect of our lives. And as we do that, joy begins to overflow again. The joy begins to show up again. And you get excited about your relationship with God. You get passionate about your relationship with God. You get caught in the zone and where you're in the perfect will of God and things are going good in your life. You might have turmoil going on in the rest of your life, but you still have this calm delight that says everything's okay. Because God's got my back. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So it's not enough just to show up on Sunday morning, sing a few songs, hear a sermon, give in the offering, and go home. If that's all you do, if that's your relationship with God, you're truly missing out. There's so much more that God has for you in your life. To truly worship God, we must devote our whole lives. Be that living sacrifice that He asks for. We need to get to know God in our private times. Have that personal connection, that time of just refreshing. We need to live out His word in obedience. And then out of that, we need to go and serve the world around us, just as Jesus did. He loved the world, even though they hated Him. And He lived His life for them. And you see what effect it had. It's the same thing with us. As we go out and we serve our world, as we serve the people around us, as we live out our relationship with God, people will take notice. People will begin to wonder what's different. People's lives will begin to change. And then from that, with those lives changed, they'll begin to affect the people around them. And their lives will change. And they'll begin to affect the people around them. And their lives will change. And that's what the kingdom of God is about. Is lives changed. Let's pray. Prayer team, go ahead and come forward. Father, we just love you so much. Thank you, God, that you gave all. That Jesus was willing to live and die for us. Father, I just pray that in response to His life and the response to your love, that you've shown, that God, that we will be willing to be sacrifices for you, living sacrifices. God, and through that, we worship you with our lives. God, I just pray, God, for all those who are in the cycle of disobedience and frustration and unanswered prayers, and just, God, I just lift those people up to you right now, God, and just pray that you just reveal to them the things that they need to change to get in this lifestyle of worship. God, that we can become lifestyle worshipers, that it will be our mode of operation, it will be the way that we think, it will be our default system, that we just naturally just worship you, that we bring glory to you. God, I just lift everybody up today, God, that's hurting, that's struggling today, that has hurt in their life. Just pray that you're just bringing joy, that calm delight into their hearts and their lives, God. And just pray that you just give them a constant that they can hang on to. And from that, that they can begin to worship, God, and you begin to work in their hearts and their lives. God, thank you for everything. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer for any reason,